Well, Brent is gay, and Kaylin's gay, and Clark is gay, and Ryan's gay, and Adam's gay. It's homo, homo, superior, superior.
Homo, homo, superior, superior. Extra issue, Pride of the X-Men. I'm Kaylin.
I'm Clark.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Brent Wingate.
That sounded like the four dwarves, right? Or the how many dwarves?
Four. There's four of us, right? Yeah.
Welcome to another extra issue where we recap, review, and reveal the nuances of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and all things X-Men. This time we are diving into Pride of the X-Men. This is the first animated television pilot originally broadcast on September 16th, 1989 on the Marvel Action Universe television block. This included shows like Fantastic Four, Spider-Woman, Spider-Man, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, and The Incredible Hulk. They were all terrible, guys. Shortly after the pilot was delivered, Marvel started having financial issues and stopped working on every project in progress with the studio. Except, of course, Muppet Babies.
I brought up Muppet Babies earlier today.
Well, that was a smash hit, so yeah.
Yeah.
The pilot aired infrequently in syndication and was later released on video. The original full pilot is currently available on YouTube. Let's jump into it, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Guys, first and foremost, if you're watching on YouTube, and I do encourage it, there is the strangest ad by thanks to Spider-Man telling us to vote. What is the VSDA?
I googled it. We tried to look it up.
So
it doesn't. I don't know. I've been looking. Googled VSDA vote.
It's
VSDA.
So he sort of tells us to vote nationally, locally, all around.
So Spider-Man is set in a dark alley wall, threatening you to go vote.
Yeah, I dare you. I dare you to vote.
I love that his like most famous villains are the League of Women Voters.
I take real umbrage with him aggressively acting the lines out when he's wearing that mask.
Yes.
I'm like, why are you yelling?
Spider-Man says vote yes on HR 214.
Mooching war widows.
Yes. So I just saw another one, which was Orville Redenbacher doing the same PSA.
A PSA for voting?
Yeah, yeah. Was it VSDA?
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
I don't know. There's also Martin Sheen one.
So this is like...
You know the normal trio.
Is this a cool thing that we should know about? In an era of television where this was supposed to be a kid's show.
Yeah. Who the fuck is voting?
What age group do they think they were telling? It was the 80s, so
you could vote then, right?
Yeah, you could vote when you were 12 in the 80s.
What kids are watching Martin Sheen tell them to vote?
They're like, hey, kids, it's Spider-Man here to tell you, go vote and also smoke some cool cigarettes.
Okay, so after Spider-Man tells us some words of encouragement, we go directly into the intro music. And as you sort of heard a sample of us, it goes, X-Men, X-Men. The words are crazy.
It's the only Marvel soundtrack that was written by Philip Sousa.
It's very 80s. It's very that inspiration.
Yeah.
It's pretty catchy, though. Let's be honest.
It fits well with, like, Thundercats.
It does. Earwormy. Yeah, it's definitely like that 80s cartoon where everybody sang along like G.I. Joe or Transformers or Thundercats, to Clark's point. It's of the time.
It is,
and,
totally.
You know, it's not as iconic as the 90s. But nothing will be, you know?
Yeah. So then we go into a nice message from Stan Lee. He tells us something, something, true believers, Excelsior, you could be a mutant. Something to that effect,
he
right?
Really he really undercut.
He basically said, people next to you might be a mutant.
You should be scared. I know you're voting right now, but you should be scared. Yeah.
Do you remember the house ads from Marvel in the late 80s where it's like, one out of four children could be a mutant?
It could be, yes.
Yeah, and it's a mutie over like one of the kids. It's like, this is horrifying.
Yeah, the whole idea of the mutants is that like they're oppressed and they should not be. But the way he set it up is, hey, there are mutants that exist out there, and they could be anywhere. And in fact, here's one of the most evil ones, Magneto.
I know. So the child
next to you might be a murderer.
Your mother is Magneto, is what they said. Yeah. So we smash cut into
Magneto.
Mom-Nito. Is being transported by a military convoy, and he's trapped in a force field and is freed by none other than the White Queen.
As voiced by some sort
Cloris
of
Leachman.
Witch.
Oh my word.
She's one of the Golden Girls. I swear to God. It's like she looks like she's 28, but is like sounds like she's 65.
She sounds elderly. She does.
Well, she used her famous quicksand powers to stop all
so
the
that,
trucks.
So that one was illusion. I'm okay with that. I'm not okay with her using these bolts. I mean, that was one of her early iterations in the comics where she used like these psychic bolts or whatever.
Yeah.
But she used them in such a weird way here.
Like throwing them like spears almost.
Yeah. It was really strange. So in this iteration, it's Magneto and the Brotherhood of Mutant Terrorists. They were like, evil sounds so bad. What would be better? What about terrorists? It sounds crazy, right?
The mutant murdering psychopath.
Keep it to Brotherhood, y'all.
It is weird for Magneto just in general to be a part of a group that's like, yeah, we call ourselves evil. We know.
Yeah.
We don't believe we're right. We know we're bad. We're the terrorists.
Do terrorists call
Are
themselves
we the bad
terrorists?
Guys? Yeah.
No, they're always called themselves
freedom fighters.
Yeah.
The Brotherhood of Freedom Fighters.
So once with Magneto freed, we smash cut to Kitty arriving at the Professor Xavier's school to begin training using her phasing powers.
Well, I got to get out of here. This mansion's giving me the creeps.
Me too, mister. She tells the taxi driver to stay. Like, where the fuck she thinks she's going to be doing?
Keep it running, big boy.
Hey, keep the engine running. Yeah.
So then she runs into Professor X. She says, who are you? What are you? Real offensive. Yeah. Okay.
She's a ginger, meanwhile.
And then we get some exposition. Dear Miss Pride, it has come to our attention that you are a mutant and you have a mutant power. And you're like, great. Thank you so much.
So they don't have like a reception hall or anything. They don't have an attendant.
No. There's no butler in this mansion.
Secretary.
It's just terrifying.
Some ghost man comes to his room.
Yeah, here's a package.
How do you
just
know this about me?
Just to let you know all the details.
So Kitty is then introduced to the rest of the team, Cyclops, Colossus, the Dazzler, Nightcrawler, Storm, and Wolverine. So we get this through a very fun Danger Room simulation where she just sort of plops in there. And then this is an old trope that we always get. You just get to see their powers right off the bat.
Yeah.
Smart way of introducing all of them. What did you guys think of this cast specifically?
I love this cast. I like this cast more than the 90s animated series cast.
Okay.
It's a combination of like that all new, all different team from the 70s and early 80s with a little bit of Outback thrown in, specifically Dazzler.
The Dazzler,
Disco Queen herself. Having her and Nightcrawler be on the team, fucking loved it.
Yes.
It's like how much more foreign it is.
Yeah.
Meaning there's a Russian, there's a German.
There's an Australian. So in this Wolverine is Australian.
Oh, it's the Outback team. I get it.
So there's a whole controversy with this. So the showrunner stated that due to the growing trend at the time of like the Australian boom. So like
Crocodile Dundee.
Exactly. All those movies came out around the same time. They claim that they were eventually going to make him Australian in the comics. No one has ever confirmed that, and it's not true.
How?
This is like them saying it, hoping to will it.
They're like, yeah, it's probably right.
You know what? We're making a bold choice by making him Australian.
I don't hate that he's Australian in this, but he's famously Canadian is the thing, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That's why it's so outrageous.
The Australia of North America.
I wish that Pyro and him, both doing Australian accents, could have fought each other and said anything.
Was it weird that he was like taller than everyone?
Yeah.
He was quite tall.
Yeah, it's the Hugh Jackman effect.
Yeah.
There's like that infographic of everyone's height, like as if they were going to prison or whatever in a lineup.
Yeah.
And he's too tall. I think they said he's 5'9 in that.
Oh, no. The Wolverine has to be like 5'4.
Yeah. It said he's 5'9 in that.
Do you think that you could, bottom, right? Like, if you were in a bar and someone showed up and they're like, wait, who are all these people over here? That you could, like, Charles, go through your friend by friend and then psychologically destroy each of them with one line. Oh, that's Cyclops. His whole thing is being a dick. And that's the Dazzler. She's from a different
era. As gay people do that.
Yes. Yeah.
That is literally
that's
us.
That's how I introduce all of you.
And
gay
Wolverine,
man.
Yeah. He's got mostly claws and a lot of attitude.
As a big Dazzlehead, why is she calling herself the Dazzler? Why the emphasis on the every single time?
It's like the Batman.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, there was the movie that came out 2 years ago, The Batman.
Yeah, and they were trying to bring that correlation.
Yeah.
Okay, Magneto sends Pyro and Blob to go on a mission to track the Scorpio comet. Meanwhile, back at the mansion, so the entire X team goes off to intercept them. So meanwhile, back at the mansion, Magneto and Juggernaut storm the X mansion, and only Kitty and Professor X are there to protect it. Spoilers, they suck and they get unconscious. What do you think about these two fights?
Just straight up electrocutes a Kitty.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Lucky to electrocutes her brain.
She fell into the computer that did all the outside, like the watering system. And
I
like
know.
All that. Like, oh, no, all of the stuff that we do need to protect.
TurboTax is on there. It's tax season.
Oh,
all that stuff's going on. I love that Kitty is playing the rogue role where, like, she's like, ah, screaming. And then,
yeah.
Like, also Jean role, and she's fainting.
I like it more than the rogue way of doing it, though. This is it kind of works for me a little bit.
I think the fight scene was good, mostly because of the animation was really nice. This is it's late 80s, like, anime-inspired. I think it was even a Japanese animation studio that did this. Mm. So it looked very like, you know, Robotech, sort of like the better scenes from Voltron, all that stuff. It's very pretty.
It is.
Even though the plot and some of the voice acting is not as great as it could be.
Emma and Storm are like naked, basically.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Even
got
though
full on side cutouts and panties.
Even though this is like, you know, the first episode, they did lean pretty hard into, you know, character lore. Like,
yeah.
Charles talking at length about his relationship with Kane Marco. This is really like...
I like that.
Yeah.
I didn't mention shit about Magneto.
He's never heard of Magneto before in his life. it's a Kane Marco hour.
Shitty brother.
That's my stepbrother.
You're always welcome in this house. It's just the choice of company that you have. I'm like,
say
like
his
you guys
name.
Were friends.
Say his name.
He also didn't walk through the door. He smashed it. Like, why he shouldn't be welcome here?
I
honestly.
Know. Well, it's Juggernaut. He doesn't know the size of his own strength.
Are there no load bearing walls in this building?
Nope, not a single one.
Uh-uh.
Meanwhile, so that's back at the that's at the mansion. But they also go on a they try to intercept Pyro and Blob, which apparently are just doing a weird fire cage around a couple people very slowly.
Yeah.
What did you guys think about this exciting fight?
He says while taking a nap.
We've seen this kind of fight over and over where you've got a suburban family trapped on a space station under a fire net.
Yeah.
Oh, that trope.
That's
just
slowly
like,
getting smaller.
Again and again. It's played out. Okay.
I have nothing to add to it. I wanted to go back to Juggernaut for a second.
Yeah, of course.
Why is he working with the Brotherhood? He's not a mutant. He's never really worked with them.
Well, maybe he is in this lore. We
don't
know. Well, okay. Asked and answered.
He does have a hat. So, yeah.
You know what? When you make a good point.
You have to think about that.
Yeah, I do.
So the team returns to the mansion, and then in the way that Xavier always does, he probes people's minds to figure out what the game plan is.
But I don't do that recklessly.
So the plan is revealed, and let me tell you what it is. The Scorpio comet is going to collide into Earth to plunge the planet into another ice age, which would leave normal humans weakened, allowing mutants to take over.
You know the mutants always cold.
The mutants always be cold. What do you guys... do you know if Scorpio Comet is real or not?
I like how you're just
what? Is
the
Scorpio Comet real?
It's not.
I made you doubt stuff, though.
No, what?
I mean, this is the zeitgeist of, like, Halley's Comet coming back, like, right around that time, because didn't it... Halley's Comet comes, like, every...
70 years.
Something like that, yeah.
I think it's weird to... see an era of Charles being able to read Magneto's mind. I know that was a creation of the movies that the helmet blocked it out, but I think it's just odd to see.
They skimmed over that. Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah.
So the X-Men decide to meet Magneto in Asteroid M, and they take off. Kitty is instructed not to join, but I think she might. I have a feeling we haven't seen the last of her.
She's very precocious.
She is.
For someone who did not bring any fucking luggage with her to this mansion.
And also a speciesist, because she like completely recoils at Nightcrawler, even though he's a snack.
Well, 100. Nightcrawler was super creepy and running up to her trying to grab her hands. yes. constantly, even though the first thing out of her mouth was she's like, I'm 14.
She said, I'm not a kid. I'm 14.
Yeah, but when she landed in like, Colossus' arms, like she was not creeped out.
She's like, Leibchen, come here. Please let me touch your hand.
His voice acting is really good, though.
I like
it. I really liked his.
Yeah.
Okay, so we arrive on Asteroid M, and luckily everyone has something to do. Everyone gets something to do.
In a sequence.
Yes. but in normal fashion, once you do something, you immediately don't help at all anymore after. Yeah. So when they arrive, Storm covers the breach in the X-Men plane and then doesn't do anything. Dazzler takes on Pyro, doesn't do anything. Wolverine traps Toad. He could have moved on. He didn't do anything. Colossus engages with Juggernaut, Cyclops, and the White Queen face off, which I thought was interesting. And then Blob and Nightcrawler have a quick confrontation. What do you guys think of these matchups?
Wolverine did just collapse a cave and stay behind.
He could have kept it moving, right?
Yeah.
Nightcrawler didn't even fight him. He just moved.
He said, yeah. This is VV. No, I can't do it.
I do want to say that I loved when Magneto told Toad he should basically play in traffic.
Yeah, he's like, go play in an airlock. Yeah. And then he goes like after like to fuck with Lockheed a little bit.
Why was he kicking Lockheed so much?
Oh my god.
Lockheed constantly. It gets so funny because it's not even sometimes Lockheed's not doing anything. He's just somewhere nearby and he just full on
kicks
him from the side.
Especially at the end, he just kicks him.
Yeah.
I'm like,
there's no explanation of why there's a random purple dragon with him. Either.
Yeah, Lockheed doesn't seem to like to be there either.
He found a dragon, beats the shit out of it.
It is very cute for, we know what would eventually happen. Like, he would have been part of the X-Men eventually.
He's a Snarf character.
But Snarf.
But Toad and Lockheed are what the 80s thought weird, funny characters would be. Like, that. Like all if you're not normal... Yeah. You are the wacky kind of character. You're a gremlin. You can't speak fully, and you're enamored by stupid stuff.
Wow. Okay. Well, I won't continue.
And Magneto
to talk.
Will kick you.
With that said, anything with these matchups? I thought Cyclops and the White Queen, as they're calling her,
they should have made out.
Yeah, you're gonna bang.
Yeah, I was
because Jean's not even anywhere in this universe. Where is
it's a
she?
Very strange choice.
Maybe this is why I liked it so much.
Yeah, it was actually a 48-minute episode, but 20 minutes of them was them fucking, and so like we can't.
We gotta cut it down. So
that's on the laser disc.
Yeah. Yes.
So this Brotherhood is a very traditional one of the early comics iterations of it. So with this Brotherhood, the X-Men Evolution Brotherhood, and then the Brotherhood that's in the animated series. What is your favorite of the three?
Can you name all the characters in Evolution and the animated series?
Oh, I would love to. Yeah, I have that prepared. In X-Men Evolution, as let's do it together, obviously.
Toad. Blob, Domino.
Blob, Avalanche.
Avalanche, yeah. Avalanche is weirdly important.
And then Scarlet Witch is sort of there with Magneto and Mystique.
Yeah.
With this one, we have Pyro, Toad, Juggernaut, White Queen, and the rest.
I mean, this
saw the episode.
Yeah.
And then X-Men animated series. There's no. Is there an official Brotherhood? I think it's more of just.
I think
it's just Toad, Mystique, Pyro, and Avalanche.
Yeah.
So, what is your favorite iteration of these? And just maybe characterization too.
In the comics, my favorite Brotherhood is Mystique's that becomes Freedom Force. I think that is such a. It's a really great use. I would say probably of the three animated series. Evolution is the one I like the most from the characters you mentioned. Mm-hmm. This one doesn't work for me because it has Juggernaut and White Queen in it. Like, they are not Brotherhood characters to me.
Juggernaut's been Brotherhood before.
Yeah. Really? Off and on, yeah. In the comics, yeah.
I probably would have picked
Don't you remember that horrible series? The horrible series we had to suffer through him and Black Tom was a tree and then they killed that poor Squid Boy?
Yes.
X-Force?
No.
Oh.
Near Chuck Austin.
I probably would have picked this team if not for Emma's voice.
I'll protect you.
I'll go to the movies and I'll make a star of me. And you're like, all right, calm down.
Okay, Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah girl, calm. Yeah. Calm yourself.
I'll get you out of that cage.
So, no more wire hangers. Yeah.
So Blob is proven pointless. And then so Nightcrawler eventually gets to Magneto. Then magically Kitty appears in the floor. Magneto accidentally blasts the wiring on his device. Nightcrawler teleports to use his body as a conduct.
Classic Nightcrawler.
Yes. What is that?
Which was
this is
wild.
The strangest choice.
Yeah.
He has two powers.
Kitty knocks
disappearing, disappearing and
no, there's
a
more.
Yeah.
There's more logistics going on. So Magneto is knocked onto a platform by Kitty. So to reroute the comet, Nightcrawler then must risk sacrificing himself to complete the machine circuit, or the comet will change the course back to Earth. Obviously, this all makes
That's
sense,
what
guys.
Happens.
Yeah.
He jumped too late.
But he jumped too late. But
does
then
the comet not have anything else to do?
I don't know
like
what
gravitationally?
This comet's thing is. What is your thing?
He just likes to hang around.
So we see him materialize in space, but surprise, surprise, he's in a locker.
No, the most important thing to me was that they shot laser grapplers at him, which then blew him up, seemingly.
Oh, yeah.
They themselves possibly murdered
that's
him.
That's very true. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, the laser grapplers look like dragons,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
What were they supposed to do? They're lasers.
I don't know.
Let's pick them up
out of the sky.
Let's pick them up with these swords. You might get hurt. You're like, what? So everyone's safe. Guys, it's a happy ending. What did you guys think of the ending ultimately?
I thought they made it quite clear that Nightcrawler is a master of within sight teleportation. I don't know how that fucker saw in from a laser grappler's distance inside the ship into the locker that was closed.
They also justify, like, if you know a place, you can probably teleport there.
Yeah.
But I don't know if this cartoon went into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'll tell you, so I watched this episode when it aired originally in 1989, and I had just started reading the X-Men comics, so I was like, first of all, I had no idea there was even going to be an animated anything about the X-Men.
Uh-huh.
It was during the Marvel Action Hour, as you said, and when I was watching it, it was Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, a cartoon version of RoboCop for some reason, and a cartoon called Dino Hunters. And
yes. This was the block that they
were
all in.
This was the block that we're in. And instead of RoboCop, like they would like kind of do this little thing like, and now coming up is RoboCop. But instead of that, and now coming up is X-Men. And I was like eating my Saturday morning cereal. And I was like, the fuck? I like nearly spill shit all over myself. I was like, nobody come in the living room. I have to watch this. We're not changing the channel. I will murder everybody. We got to watch this.
Kaelin says, the fuck? And his mom slaps the back of his head. What did you say?
Listen, Mom, it's the X-Men. She's like, okay.
I loved it
because the animation is pretty, and you know, as a kid, I was like, oh, this is really, really fun. And then you're like, oh, I can't wait to see what happens next week. And then next week, it was like, and it's RoboCop. I was like, what? Fuck you, RoboCop. Why are you not back, X-Men? I was so mad.
So, fun fact for you. So this episode was supposed to be a RoboCop episode, but they canceled it to create this pilot. So it was supposed to be 13 episodes of RoboCop.
Yes, shit.
Okay. So
fuck.
That's
where my missing RoboCop episode went.
this was actually that last episode. So this is RoboCop's an X-Men, is what I'm saying, basically.
Oh,
right,
okay.
Now.
I mean, again, I loved it as a kid. Watching it now as an adult, it's like, oh, I can see why. It looked expensive, and it was not great. And what was going to happen if they had continued it, it would have been an episode of the week kind of thing. I don't think anybody would have been ready for the more of the saga approach that the 90s cartoon ended up taking to simulate like what happened in the comics.
So the showrunners of X-Men the Animated Series, they did say they took inspiration from this. Obviously, they took some of the cast that was pre-existing, but the backlash to this one pilot episode was that it wasn't true to the comics. So to your point, so they wanted to make it all those things, and then they eventually turned it into what we have see now.
Yeah, the comics at the time in 89, it was like post-Inferno, and it was like when the team was all split up, and they'd gone to Siege Perilous and all that kind of stuff. And so it like the cartoon team looked nothing like what the comics, they didn't really have a team at this point, not much of one. And so I'm sure that people, if they've been watching the cartoon and went to go buy the comic, you know, at the comic store or off the spinner rack, they'd have been like, where's the Dazzler? You know, where's Nightcrawler?
Everyone's been saying it.
Where's Kitty Pryde? Meanwhile, Kitty Pryde and Nightcrawler were in Excalibur and had been for about a year or two at that point. So I can see why it didn't continue, but, you know.
What would have happened, like, in a, let's, you know, supposition, if it continued, how would it affect what we're reading now, what the show would have been, who in the real world would have...
I like to go down this path of, like, if this was the big show that continued on, it would be a different world we live in. Dazzler would be everyone's gene stand now, and it would
JFK
be a,
would still be alive.
And then... Yes. 9/11 wouldn't have happened.
Right.
There's a lot.
The internet would have been created.
Yeah.
I do think, on a real note, in the comics, I think Marvel would have forced Claremont to make the team look like it did in the cartoon. So, revert back to like the all new, all different team with a few variations. Hmm. And he would have been like, nope, fuck no. I have been the architect for the X-Men for the last 12 or 13 years. I'm going to keep doing it this way. And then I think he would have been fired sooner rather than later. And so, I don't know, like, if it would have been, like, a Jim Lee, Rob Liefeld kind of a thing, but they would have brought in a writer to just make it more generic, make it more like the cartoon.
Yeah. One other inspiration that this show brought was they did the Konami X-Men arcade game, which a lot of people were introduced
to the X-Men. Yeah.
Yeah, so people know Dazzler and some of the other ones that didn't make it to the animated series
but
through that.
Do you
well.
Recall I the do. Most famous of them all?
The Rudolph the Red. Yeah, guys, anything else with this gorgeousness?
I
that
did not
is?
Know Magneto was 6'10".
Yeah, girl.
According to this. Why is he so tall?
He's got boots.
I don't know. So I found this fun little...
It's the helmet.
Yeah, it really adds some height to it. I'll add this when we do some of the promotion for this. I'll add this little fun infographic. It shows Wolverine way too tall. And to your earlier
shows
point,
every
Clark.
Single cast member and their heights, like as if they're in a lineup for having murdered some child.
That's the only way to describe it, I think.
Do you remember that scene at the end of Oedipus after he's killed his father and slept with his mother, and then he like wants to, and then he gouges out his own eyes?
Yeah.
Oedipus X.
I felt less bad than that.
It's sort of the same.
Honestly, the animation was really good. I very much enjoyed
yes.
it.
Yes.
I would have liked... I think it's like it's in a wrong era a little bit because they were probably too willing to spend too much on the actual animation itself, but they didn't have the writing style skills to carry a longer arc.
The
yeah.
Danger Room scene where they're in like the... I don't know, let's say Aztec Temple.
Yeah.
That was gorgeous.
That was interesting to like just
much
throw
better
in
than
that.
What the Savage Land looked like in, when we were
the
watching
animated
series.
Yeah.
The animated
series.
Yeah,
I think it was rough.
Great choice to have a Dazzler in there. I just thought it was fun.
She was fun. I wish she got to speak more.
Yeah. I have a feeling they would have brought in Magneto in every episode and they would not have had his anti-heel turn.
Very
I think
true.
He would have been just kept him a villain
in the real in the actual comics.
Well, if Pryde had continued into an ongoing series, and then the comics would have reverted him back to a villain, which they ended up doing anyway.
Mm-hmm. Watch out, your neighbor might be a dirty mutant.
and vote.
Okay, so we
basically in the episode, Wolverine is sharpening his claws, being skeptical of Kitty.
Blimey, Kitty, she's so
bloody
whiny.
Child.
I don't fuck it.
I don't care that she's 14. I don't want a child soldier on my fighting team.
Oh, God. Okay. To close this out, what accent would you give each of the... No, we're not doing that.
I wanted,
they'd
I think
all be Michael Caine.
I like Australian Wolverine
it
as a choice.
Fits.
Just like as this like wild animal, it fits a little bit more with Australia rather than Canada.
Yeah.
He'd be the Tasmanian devil if he was from Australia, which is a character in DC Comics.
Yeah.
It came to fruition, too, because Hugh Jackman, hello.
Yeah.
She's Australian.
That's right.
That's how he got cast.
Yeah.
That's
like,
5'9".
They're like,
let me watch the source material.
Do you remember this one episode cartoon from 1998? Neither do we. That's where you got the part.
You're in. You got the part, kid. Anything else, guys? Any last little moments we want to share or just really felt strongly about?
No, but we are going to start our review of X-Men 97 this week. So listen to our regular episodes for that.
We're jazzed.
I don't want to release episodes on 97. I want to limit it to 89.
Australian Brent, where can you rate and review us?
You don't have to answer that question from a little 14-year-old girl. But if you are looking for where to rate and review us, it's on Homo Superior X and Homo Superior Podcast.
And that's on the Instagram, right?
That latter one is.
Well, we're at the end of our pod. Thank you so much for listening, and keep a lookout for all of our reviews going forward for X-Men 97.
Bye,
little Homo.
X-Men. I don't remember the rest of the lyrics.
X-Men.